Today, on Verse by Verse, we're going to focus on worship. Let's read the final verses in the letter of Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Amen. Did you notice in Jude 24, it says, now to him. So he's changing the subject here with the word now. We have been focusing on our call to contend for the faith from verse 3 and following. And I think it's appropriate that we end by focusing upon the one who saves us, focusing on him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to bring us to our chief end, our main goal, which is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. So we notice that it's all about who deserves the glory. This is the central focus of these two verses. And who deserves the glory? Well, Jude says, him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory. I love how it reminds us that our only hope to be saved is in God. You know, maybe we've been studying these verses about contending for the faith and we feel a little bit overwhelmed. Wow, I have to contend for the faith. I have to recognize false teachers. I have to build myself up. I need to go after others who are not saved and save them. But let's be reminded, it's really God who saves. He's the only Savior. And I thank God that my salvation isn't completely dependent upon me. It's completely dependent upon Him. Because though I may question my ability to keep myself, He is certainly able to keep me from stumbling. Stumbling means to fall completely, to be destroyed. It doesn't mean just tripping and then getting back up. God is able to keep us from the worst calamity of falling away from Him. So put your trust in Him to keep you, and you won't worry. After all, the righteous shall live by faith. Notice that He's also able to make you stand in the presence of His glory with great joy. God is able to make us qualified to enjoy Him forever. See, after we die, we will be presented before God. There will be a judgment where everyone stands before God. Some are accepted, some will be rejected. But God is able to present you blameless before Him because of the blood of Christ. Remember the gospel that Jesus lived a perfect life, but He died for our sin. He was the scapegoat that took the blame for our sin and took the punishment. And justice was satisfied in Him. Therefore, if we believe in Christ, we are justified by faith. We are declared righteous before the presence of His glory. Right now, we are in God's presence in a sense. God is everywhere, and He is certainly with believers when they are on the ends of the earth. He said, I'll be with you always. And He's especially with us when we worship Him, whenever two or three are gathered in His name, when there's church discipline going on. He's with us. But there's a sense in which we will be with Him after we die, and it will be a greater revelation of who He is. Don't you look forward to that day when we will be in the presence of His glory? We will be able to see Him face to face, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Right now, we don't see God. If we were to see God in His full glory, we would die. The Bible says no one can see God and live. But after we die, we will be able to see God, and we will spend eternity enjoying the glory and the joy of the presence of God. That is why we should give glory to God. So this is why Jude reminds us that to Him belongs all the glory, because He's able to save us, He's able to keep us, and He is able to be enjoyed. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I would have lost heart if I hadn't believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That is our blessed hope, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring us to His heavenly kingdom to be with Him and enjoy His love and His light forever. If that doesn't excite you, then maybe you don't know God yet. One problem why people are not excited about the Lord is just because they don't know Him and they don't recognize His glory. Now, if you're not a believer in Christ, if you haven't believed the gospel and repented from your sins, then you will not be able to stand blameless in the presence of His glory, because it's only through Christ that we are made qualified to stand in the presence of His glory blameless. Notice how Jude goes on to say, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, the way that God saves us is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, then He is not your Savior. If Jesus is not the Christ, then He cannot be your Savior. Christ means Messiah. Messiah means that He fulfills all of the prophecies of the Old Testament about His first coming, and He will fulfill all the prophecies about His second coming. In the second coming, He's coming to judge, to divide the sheep from the goats, divide the Christians from the non-Christians. And so it's only through Christ that we can be presented blameless before our Heavenly Father and be able to enjoy heaven forever. Those who are apart from Christ, they will be blamed for all the things that they have done wrong and for not doing the good that they know they should have done. They are without excuse. They know God exists by what He has created. And God has revealed Himself through the person of Jesus Christ and extended an opportunity for salvation to the world through us. But those who reject Him will be repaid according to their works. And hell is the opposite of heaven. In heaven, you enjoy the love of God. In hell, you're separated from His love. God is the light provided in heaven. In hell, it will be outer darkness. In heaven, you will be in the presence of God's glory. In hell, you will be separated from God under His wrath. In heaven, there will be pleasures forevermore and great joy. In hell, there will be torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth. God is worthy of worship. I like the way Westminster's Shorter Catechism teaches basic Bible questions and answers. They ask the question, what is man's chief end? The answer, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Is this biblical? That our main purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? Psalm 86:9 says, all the nations you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and glorify your name. Isaiah 60, verse 20, your people shall be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. Romans 11:36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. You see how the scriptures say everything is to give glory to God. Now, when we're not living with that main purpose, everything else will be out of order because our priorities will be messed up. If you put people first rather than God, that is not what you were created for. So that will be the most frustrating thing of your entire life. Man's glory is very temporary, but the glory of God will endure forever. We would do well to recognize the glory of God. This doesn't mean that we make God more glorious than He is, but that we recognize the glory of God more than we have before, because we didn't recognize His glory enough before. The world does not see Him or know Him. That's why they don't glorify Him. So glorifying God simply means knowing that God is glorious and giving Him the glory that is due to His name, esteeming Him as worthy, as awesome. Let's examine this other part of the main purpose of man. Is man's main purpose to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? Where do we see that we should enjoy God in the Bible? Well, Psalm 16, verse 5 through 11. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. My lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that awesome? In God's presence there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. My friends, God didn't create us so that we would suffer forever. He wants us to enjoy Him forever. That's why when people reject God, the only alternative is that they don't enjoy Him forever. Isaiah 12, verse 1 through 6. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. God is great. This encourages me just reading it. You know, sometimes we walk around the Christian life and we're so sad. You know, people are perishing. They're going to hell. Maybe the things in the church are not the way they should be. Maybe things in your own life, you're disappointed in yourself and your own inability. But I tell you, look unto the Lord. Be encouraged. He is able to keep you. He is great. He is worthy of living for. And He gives joy to those who know Him. All of these troubles are temporary. Jesus said, In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Sometimes we forget that. Oh, thank you, Lord, for reminding us. So we can enjoy the Lord. Philippians 4:4, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Oh, glorious. Glory to God. You know the word hallelujah literally means glory to God. Hallel means glory or praise. And Yah is short for Yahweh, the name of God in Hebrew. Hallelujah. Shout it with joy. Hallelujah. So now that we know who we are praising and why we are praising Him, let's look closer at these four words that we're to give Him: glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Speaking of His dignity, His gloriousness, His honor, giving praise to Him and worship. The second thing we're to give to God is majesty, greatness. Proclaim that He is the majestic God. Awesome. The third thing we are to give to God is dominion, meaning vigor, great, mighty, powerful, and strength. This is a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we are encouraged to recognize that God is on the throne of heaven, and every individual which surrenders to His lordship in repentance and faith in the gospel becomes a citizen of His heavenly kingdom. And we give Him the authority and the dominion over our lives to tell us how He wants things to be in our lives. The final word that we are to give God is power or authority, in the sense of ability, competency, power, right, strength. We are to give God the authority over our lives, over the church, over our nation, over the world, and recognize that even though ungodly people may be reigning, the Most High rules over the nations, and He gives authority to whomever He wishes. Now, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. If we really believe that Jesus has the authority, then we're going to go. We're going to make disciples of all nations. We're going to teach them. We're going to baptize them. We're going to be with Jesus. Follow Him, and He will make us fishers of men. That's the purpose of my life. Is it yours? In Revelation, when God is judging the world, it says that they heard the gospel proclaimed even from an angel from the skies, and yet they would not repent and give God the glory. Perhaps this is the thing that's keeping you from becoming a Christian. You will not let go of your desire to be God, to be glorified. Now finally, when are we to give God glory? When does God deserve the glory? When does it all belong to Him? Notice in Jude verse 25, the final verse, it says, Before all time, now, and forever. That's past, present, and future. That's all time. When is God to be glorified? All the time. God is good? All the time. I love Jude's three-point messages. It's in one verse, we could talk about how glory was given to God before time. That's a deep thought. Before there was time, before the beginning of time, before he created anything, God existed in his glory. And he didn't create the world because he needed anyone to glorify him. He was perfectly content in his own glory. So I encourage you, glorify God, for this is the reason you were created. The final word here is amen. And it doesn't mean that's the end. It means that's true. So be it. And so I give my amen to this program. And if you want to respond and say amen, please feel free to write to me. My email is brentonpowers@gmail.com. brentonpowers@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Verse by Verse. If the Lord wills, we will continue our radio show in a week or two. And it's my prayer that God would be glorified in your life.